Aren't you glad that you know, that you know, that you know? Amen. How many of you appreciate what we heard here last night? Well, it was camp meeting. Whether or not you got to be here last night I tell you what, if you missed it, you missed a real treasure. We had camp meeting here last night. And you know what? It's going to be camp meeting again here this morning. It's camp meeting every time we come here. Are you glad you get love to come to the house of God? Are you glad He's placed a desire within your heart to worship and to sacrifice unto Him? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him a real big hand clap of praise this morning. Oh, He's worthy. Go ahead and praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now turn around. You ain't got much room, but turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet him in the name of the Lord this morning. Tell him you're glad to see him in church. Brethren, play that again if you will. Play like you believe it this time. Play. Praise the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for a few minutes while we look at our prayer requests this morning. Brother Daniel, if you get ready this morning to come onto the platform. Brother Gary Hall sends this in to please pray for Brother David Wright. He's a minister who preached this message for years and is still doing it. 76 years old, in critical condition, in Gastonia Hospital with a lung infection, masses in his lungs, and tumors in his chest. He was the one that was very influential in bringing me to this message. So we want to remember Brother David Wright in prayer this morning as we pray. We want to pray for Sister Naomi Daly, sends this in to pray for her sister Dolores Dyer in Ohio. She's been very sick with pneumonia, stage 4 kidney failure. Her husband is 80 years old, facing open heart surgery. As soon as they can schedule it, they need healing. So let's remember those requests this morning as we pray. Brother Mike Johnson says that Brother Steve Bright is battling a kidney stone today. He asked that we would remember him in prayer, so let's remember that need as we pray, that the Lord would just be mindful of him today. We've got some folks we're going to be welcoming to the service here just in a few minutes. I want to pray for Sister Linda Kennedy. Says to please pray for my grandson Aaron, my granddaughter Amber. Let's remember those needs as we pray today. I want to pray for Angela Houchin. She has some medical issues concerning her health. Sister Elena Jones sends that in, so let's remember that need today. Brother Samuel has a prayer request he'd like for us to pray about. So we just commit all these things unto the Lord. If you have a need this morning you'd like for this group to pray about, how many of you are believing with all your heart and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're serving a prayer-answering God? Amen. Do you believe that? Yes, he's answered too many to ever doubt him now, hasn't he? Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. If you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about this morning, we just commit all these things unto the Lord. Brother Daniel, God bless you as you come to lead us to the Lord in prayer this morning. Appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, don't we? Amen, buddy. Pray, buddy. God bless you.
Amen. Just thinking of a little story I hear about a girl, a young child, come to a dad one time that was a preacher. He had preached on Joel, the second chapter, the 13th verse, which says, "Render unto me your heart and not your garment." And she asked her dad, she said, "Why does God want your heart?" And he happened to look down, and she had a little pocketbook. He said, "Can I have your pocketbook?" And she gave it to him. And he went on his way, and a day or two later, he came back. He said, "You remember the question you asked me?" And she said, "Yes." And he said, "I asked for your pocketbook." He said, "Why do you think I want your pocketbook?" And she said, "Well, maybe to put a little bit of money in it." That's the way of a child's thinking. He said, "That's why God wants your heart, is so that he can put something inside of it." Amen. That's the way I want to be. I want to let God have all of me, not just part of me. Amen. Let's pray for these needs this morning. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne. God, we know that there's nothing impossible with you. God, that you're just as real today as you was when you walked the shores of Galilee. Lord Jesus, we just praise you. We love you so much. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for our pastor, Brother Dine. Thank you for the ministry here at this church. God, we thank you for the people that's in our congregation today, for our visitors, God, for those over the internet, whoever they may be, God, I pray that you'll move for them, for the requests that I hold in my hands, knowing, God, that your hands are not too short. We pray that you'll move for these needs. God, that you'll move for the people. God, bless our pastor today. Lord, we just appreciate what he's been preaching to us. I'm so glad, God, that there was a seed that was within our hearts that you put there even before time. Oh, God, that seed was germinized. And God, they came to life. And we pray now, Lord, by your will, that you'll help us to stay in your presence constantly. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in service with us today, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have all of you here. All those that are streaming the service today, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. I want to welcome to the service today the Abe Weeb family, visiting from Carrot River, Saskatchewan. I hope I got that name of that place right. Where are you folks at? Raise your hand right over here. Give those folks a nice hand this morning. God bless you. I'm glad to have y'all in the service. Certainly glad you're here this morning. Want to welcome also to the service, Brother and Sister Homer from Eagles Faith Tabernacle in Columbia, South Carolina. Where would you folks be? Raise your hand real high so we can see you. Right back here. Give those folks a nice hand this morning. And all of you home folks, we're kind of glad to see you here this morning. God bless you. How many of you come to worship? How many of you come to create a real good atmosphere that would be pleasing to our Lord this morning? Amen. We got more songs than we're going to have time to do, but we'll do the best we can in the time allotted. Let me make this announcement before we sing. To make this announcement today, and we'll make it again Wednesday. All graduating seniors, please turn in a photo and a graduation announcement into the library in the next 2 weeks so that the board can be updated in the lobby. So I think we said last night the board in the library could be updated, but I knew that wasn't right, but I read what was written down and somebody made a mistake and it wasn't me this time. So praise God. Praise the Lord. I was excused this time, Brother Terry. Amen. I'll make enough for all of you, but you still love me, don't you? Amen. We love you too. God bless you. I want Brother Chuck and Brother Joel to come onto the platform and be getting ready just in a minute to sing a song with Brother Harry. But before they do, we're going to sing one together. I know what lies ahead. I don't know what is going to happen to me today, but I know where I'm going. I know where I come from, I know where I'm at, and I know where I'm going. Somebody say, I know where I'm going. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning. This road ahead is straight and narrow and leads to a better home. It was made by Christ that day at Calvary while he suffered all alone. This road may lead over many high mountains, valleys dark and low. I'll safely reach my goal. Up ahead, there's joy and gladness and rest for my weary soul. Ahead,
there's peace and
oh yes, everybody will be happy and whole. Brother Joel, Brother Chuck, Brother Harry, they're going to lead us in this song, Through the Fire. How many of you are willing to go through the fire to get to the other side? Let's help these guys sing this song. We appreciate them, don't we?
So many times I've questioned certain circumstances and things I could not understand. Many times in trials, weakness blurs my vision, and my frustration gets so out of hand. Well, it's then I am reminded that I've never been forsaken. I've never had to stand one test alone. As I look at all the victories, the Spirit rises up in me and it's through the fire my weakness is made strong. He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and your hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I will surely perish, but if I trust the hand of God, he'll seal the flame again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and your heel would not be hard to climb. Never offered victories without fighting. He said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Take you through the fire again.
I know within myself that I would surely perish. Oh, but if I trust the mighty hand of God, he'll seal the flames again, again.
He never promised that the cross would not be heavy and the hill would not be hard to climb. He never offered victories without fighting, but he said help would always come in time. Just remember when you're standing in the valley of decision and the adversary says give in, just hold on. Our Lord will show up and he will take you through the fire again.
So just hold.
To him sing that all day long, couldn't you? You can be seated this morning. We're going to try to work a couple of specials in. Brother Ryan Kennedy, if he'll come onto the platform. Brother Caleb and Brother Harry, I believe, they put a song together. All that's going to participate in that song with them. If you all come onto the platform while we can be getting ready, won't waste any time. I don't know who all is involved in either of those songs, but if all of you would just come onto the platform and be getting ready. While Brother Ryan's getting ready, let's just sing a little chorus. Again, let's sing a little bit of I Know My Redeemer Lives. I'm so glad I know that this morning. Aren't you glad for election? Aren't you glad you was picked? Well, that's pretty weak. To be picked, you ought to just about be jumping up and down, screaming. You've been picked. You've been selected. You've been elected. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer. Let's give our singers a nice hand as they get ready to sing.
This is a song I wrote not too long ago, and I'm really not prepared to sing it yet, but Brother Louie put me on the spot, and he likes to do that. Sun's about to break. You've been running for so long. Your legs are getting weary. You can barely even crawl. You feel like giving up. You want to just give in. The tides of doubts confine you and try to pull you in. But there's still a small voice inside. Keeps pushing you to fight until you see your loved ones cheering and as you cross that finish line. So run, run as fast as you can. We've got to make it to the promised land. I see those city lights just ahead now, child. Forget your worries and dry your tears. Push through the pain, no time for fears. Those city lights just ahead of time. Soon, very soon, He will take you by the hand and gently lead you in. Until then, we will fight with love in our hearts, with fire in our eyes. So run, run as fast as you can. We gotta make it to the promised land. I see those city lights just ahead now, child. Forget your worries and dry your tears. Pursue the pain, no time for fears. Those city lights are just ahead now, child. Victory is mine. victory today. Dad told Satan, get me behind, 'cause victory today is mine. Victory is ours, victory is ours, victory today is ours.
I hope it sounds that good. Brother Caleb had this song on his heart last night, and after you hear it, you'll know why.
Go plead with your mother, were the words of Hosea, as he sent his children to extend his mercy. So they journeyed down the old path that led to much destruction, all the while their loving hearts were hurting. Their hope was crushed inside, as their compassion was denied. The woman they so loved seemed like a stranger. Heartbroken and alone, they took the long road home. Forcing now rain and hope seemed gone to change. Now one day the word was told, some slaves were being sold. A restless love, San Jose is seeking. One by one they brought them in, so beaten down with sin. In his chest his anxious heart was beating. All at once she caught his eye, from his lips the bid were high. She cannot believe the voice that she could hear. Would he through judgment take her life? Forever in the pain and strife. What would happen as he saw him drawing near? I've come to take you home. That you've done wrong, but for you I give my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I couldn't let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. There's a new day
just ahead. I've come to take you home. In that same place, bound by sin, a broken slave. From the depths of my despair, I prayed for mercy. I heard his word, the price was paid on the cross for me that day. Take my hand now, child, you're part of the family. I've come to take you home. Know that you've done wrong, but for you I give my life. Through the sorrow, pain, and strife, I couldn't let you go. Let's leave the past behind. Love conquers one more time. There's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you home. He took my hand and said, there's a new day just ahead. I've come to take you
redeem us, Lord, to make a way that we could go back home. Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd help us today, Father. We can be illuminated in a greater way to that great, great love that you have for us. May the presence of God, I pray, come and speak to our hearts. May we be changed, I pray, Lord. Dear God, we are a blessed people to be able to live in a nation where we can still be able to worship you according to the dictates of our hearts. To be able to have a building that we can come and worship you in. And we are grateful. We never want to take these blessings for granted. Open our hearts now today, Father, as only you can do, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 25, if you would, today. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. I want to speak to you again today on the gallery of sovereignty. How many believes in the sovereignty of God?
Amen.
We believe the scripture. We certainly have to. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23. God speaking to the children of Israel about the promised land. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Can you imagine God telling a people that? Ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then he shall redeem that which his brother sold. And if the man have none to redeem it and be able to redeem it. And notice the stages of redemption. If the man himself somehow come into a means, he could buy it back. And if not, some of his kin could buy it back. May the Lord bless his words. You may be seated. Isn't it peculiar that God would say the land was his? You know, the scripture tells us that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We would all agree with that, that the whole earth is the Lord's. But yet the Lord chose the land of Israel as a special possession. You would agree with that. That's what he himself decreed. Therefore, if the land of Israel was his land, and he claimed it as his own land, as his special possession and property, then he could give it to whomsoever he desired. You'll agree with that. Because it belonged to him. So then if he wanted this certain people to have it, then he could give it to them. If there were other people who were living on it and were basically only tenants of his land, then he had the right to move them from that land and to allow someone else to move on the land because it belonged to him. Whenever the children of Israel come into their inheritance, this right of the ownership of God still is enacted by him. God institutes this grant of redemption by which the land, if it was sold, that it could never actually be permanently sold. But it was a temporal selling, which would only be a reprieve of the debt owner. So the land could be used as a means by which this man would be able to sell this property. But it was only temporal because God set up in every 50 years called Jubal or Jubilee, as we call it in the English, which was every 7 years or every 49 years, and the seventh year would be the number of Jubilee. They were to be able to reclaim this land and it would go back to the original tribe. God, you know, God's ways are so different than our ways. And the story of redemption is a beautiful story. We can see truly the story of redemption in the Old Testament as it's conveyed in shadows and types. When we look into the New Testament, it becomes more clear. But here God is giving us, to me, a picturesque description of the spiritual land of redemption, which will be revealed in the New Testament. He conveys it because the Old Testament people, their possession was natural. Their blessings were natural. Their land was natural. Their inheritance was natural. To us, it is not so much natural, but it is supernatural. But God conveyed the story of the same story of redemption in the land of Israel to them in the natural occurrence of this land. Now God writing to them then a grant of redemption, and how that if a person was to be given a certain tribe, remember it's by the decree of God, that the tribe of Reuben would be here, the tribe of Naphtali, the tribe of Asher, the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of Levi, and whatever more, each one of them would have their inheritance decreed by God. God never intended for that inheritance to be swapped out, to where that the tribe of Reuben would trade half of their land over the tribe of Issachar, and Issachar would come over here to Naphtali. God said, each one of you is going to live right here. This will be your perpetual inheritance for countless of generations. If you obey me and stay in my word and my covenant, this will be yours forever and ever. Now God, knowing how it is the tendency of man to get away from what God designates for them, God then maintained the sole proprietorship or the ownership of this land for himself. If God had forfeited the rights of ownership to the people of Israel, then whatever they had done with the land, God would have never had any more right of claim or title upon the land. Then the inheritance would have forever been lost. So God makes them sojourners with himself. Now God allocates to them, now I'll let you live here, I'll let you stay here, and this will be your inheritance for perpetual generations as long as you obey me. But if you disobey me, then the title of redemption or the right of inheritance, the right of possession, will go back to me automatically because I am the
the original owner. You follow my thought? Now, of course, we know that God is able to see the end plumb back here from the beginning. So in order to cover himself, knowing what man would do, knowing that man, on the basis of free moral agency, would certainly make the wrong choices. And this is why, of course, that God did it this way. So he wanted to make himself the sole owner or proprietor of this land. So if man did and would make a mistake, then God would be able to correct this mistake by his own sovereignty. Now God, this is why that God brings them together and says then that you are strangers with me. Notice again in chapter 25 verse 23, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. Notice again in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 9, but if you turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house, which I have sanctified for my name, and I will cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. Now here again, God is setting forth his ability as sole proprietor of the land of Canaan, that he would usurp his position if need be, if they didn't do what was right with his property. You understand my thought? Now it's the same way now. If God is doing this under the right of redemption and the natural inheritance of just acreage of land and a certain nation that would be on a property, how much more then would God, knowing what man would do with his eternal life, or what man would do with his soul? Now if Israel would lose their natural land, it would certainly be, you know, a great loss, because God foreordained that they would live there. It was their property. And yet we know down through the ages that they've lost the right for it to be theirs, and many different ones have moved in and taken it over. And even, of course, to the restoration in 1948, when they was able to come back in and be able to set up and be a nation. But still to this day, they do not have much of their property which was given to them. Much of Jerusalem still belongs to the Arabs. The mount, of course, where the Mosque of Domar sits, still belongs to the Arabs. Many different holy sites that are in Jerusalem, as we call them, still belong to the Arabs. They belong to the English. They belong to different nationalities. So even to this day, they share many of their sacred and holy sites because they disobeyed the word. Now, they were only tenants or landholders under a rental agreement, if you will, to where God said, if you will agree to my conditions, then I will allow you to live on this property. But I just want to remind you that if you forsake me, the proprietorship still belongs to me. And I still own this ground, and it is mine. And I reserve the sole right to move you out and to allow other people to move in, because I am the owner of this property. Now, if God would do that in the natural sense, and people would lose their natural inheritance, their family heritage of where God wanted them to be, and God would do it in such a way to protect his own ownership, then I wonder if the mystery of redemption laying under the Levitical laws of redemption, and also the little book called the Book of Ruth, if in there is not a great mystery also of redemption, of the ownership of man's very being, which would certainly supersede natural inheritance of property. Wonder if God does not own men's souls. Wonder if God would not be able to attain a sole proprietorship of those whom he foreknew. Knowing what every man under the guise of free moral agency would do, that man under that auspices of free moral agency, knowing it would have such an impact, that God himself would reserve the right to sole ownership of his elect. Knowing that once the elect were placed in human flesh, that they themselves would make many, many wrong decisions. and that if God would have left them only to their own demise and their own capabilities of trying to choose right and wrong, and knowing how man is, that he's constantly undergoing a change all the time. Man's views changes, man's perspective changes, as man's understanding about certain things change, then the man will act or react according to the change of what he perceives about this situation. And then God, knowing how that would be, you imagine the whole economy of God would be so unstable. It would be so fluctuating with time and with change. The Almighty would never commit his eternal word or his eternal value of eternal life into the constant changing of man's whims. So there must be something that would so undergird this plan of God that it could never fail, though people who have it would still have the capability of failing and making mistakes, but it would be something that would go beyond their own human frailty. Something that would be there that the proprietorship of God would still maintain the right, the land is mine. Glory. The land is mine. The land is mine. And you cannot sell what is mine. Now, as mortals, we have the ability today to make our choices as what we will do in life, what we will do even with our bodies, and what we will do with our abilities in life. And you have a great deal to do with that, we know. Even in the vocation that you choose, and we have so much to do with that. And God knew that we would get into a spot to where that we would actually lose control, as it were, of our property. And were it not for the right of redemption of the sole proprietorship under the law of redemption, that God himself would control, all of the human race would be ultimately lost. It would not be in man. After Adam fell and forfeited our rights, it would simply not be in man to be able to have the power to choose good over evil, since man's nature was now defiled by evil. So when the man comes to the earth, everything about him is evil. How would God ever be able to override that unless sovereign grace came in and gave man the ability to override what he himself is born with? Now, when we look at the right of redemption, then we know that there was, as I mentioned last night, there was two phases or two workings of this law of redemption, and that was the law concerning the Jews, which are the inhabitants of the land of Israel, and also what Moses termed as strangers, and that was the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles are not forbidden to live in the land of Israel, but if the Gentiles did live there, they must comply to the laws of redemption. So a Gentile would say, come in, and he would be able to live among the tribe of Reuben or Naphtali or Dan or whoever it was. That Gentile must comply to the teachings and the law of Moses, even though himself might not be a proselyte, but he must absolutely obey those laws. So if a Gentile actually had been able to help a Jew and he had been able to obtain part of his property, that Gentile must be compliant to the laws of redemption. And when the year of Jubilee come around, and say there were 7 years from the end of Jubilee, and this man got in a real financial strait and he needed to sell his property or himself or a son or daughter, he must come underneath the release of the Jubilee. And that was that at the end of every 49 years, seven sevens, which of course is 49, then there would be a Sabbath of the land, which was the 50th year, which is what we know as Pentecost. So there would be 7 years that would be multiplied, 7 times 7, 49. So the earth would actually have a Sabbath. After 50 years, they would let the land rest. They would not actually plow the ground. They would not till the ground. They would not toil. But they would actually give the land a Shabbat, which is called in Hebrew. And also during the same time frame would be this word Jubilee. So if you had gotten a hard spot and you had a lot of debts and you was able to put a mortgage on your property, or you say you sold yourself to your neighbor, and you said, look, I need so much money, and I work for you, I promise every day. And this man, knowing now that there's only 7 years left unto the Jubilee, so if he gives you, we'll say, 5,000 denarii, and you or take that 5,000 denarii, and you're able to pay your debts, that man must be able to equate. He will get 7 years of labor out of you to justify this 5,000 denarii in order to be able to pay you back. Because when that time comes, you are going to have the ability under the laws of redemption to walk right off of that, and you're going back to your property. That's because you were a Jew. Now, if you were a Gentile and you were bought by these Jewish people, the law of redemption, under the law of redemption, the year of Jubilee did not apply to a Gentile. It only applied to the Jews. One Jew could not sell another Jew. He could not buy another Jew. Yet, as the time went on, the Jews began to do the exact same thing with their brothers as they did with the Gentile. This is one reason that God sold them. So they begin to sell their brothers, and they begin to treat their brothers in a way that they themselves had been treated years ago in the land of Egypt. And by doing this, then they was going to forfeit their right themselves to live on the land. Listen, friend, if we want the blessing of God and we want God to be pleased with us, we've got to live in His land according to the dictates of His word. We can't pick and choose which ones we want. And if we don't live in this land of the Holy Ghost and the way that God gives to us the dictates by that word, then guess what? He will move us out. Oh, but I'm under grace. I'm going to tell you one thing. These people knew all about grace. It was grace that brought them out of the land of Egypt. It was grace that gave them a pillar of fire. It was grace that gave them a prophet. But when they overrode grace, then they had to take up residence somewhere else. Now, under this law of redemption, then, there was this law that God would give them on the year of release. It was the Jubilee, or the year of release, by which the person would be able to get their possession back. So if this man would taken your property, we'll say, and it was under a mortgage, as we'd call it today, and there's so much money was owed against that in the year of Jubilee, your property would be released. You would have the ability to move back in. If you had actually sold yourself, which you could do, you could sell yourself to this man. Now, nobody could sell you, but you could sell yourself. Or you say you had a son or you had a daughter, and then you would say, you know what, I really can't go over there and do that farm work and keep up mine, so I'm going to let my daughter go, or I'm going to let my son go, and I'm going to let them go for that debt. When the year of Jubilee came, you would be able to be redeemed. Or if the father had the capability, or an uncle or a cousin or a brother would have the ability, and he would hear about his nephew over here, and he's working for Jablinski, and old Jablinski didn't need him over there, so this kid heard about him being there. So he decides, this ain't right, I'm a wealthy man, I've got the ability to go redeem him. Now, it was not because that this nephew asked this rich uncle to do it, but the law set it forth that if you knew you had one of your kin which was sold and under this agreement of this mortgage payment, you were obligated by the law. You see, it was not under the law of redemption that this man asked you to do it for him, or your nephew, or your niece. The obligation was on your part first, not him. According to the law of redemption, you were obligated by the law to go redeem him, and you never even acted on his free moral agency. You went and done it and gave him his freedom. Well, that's what the word says. Notice, if thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. Notice now, he's not to go ask his brother, do you want me to do this for you? I was thinking of doing this. What do you think? You think we could work out something? What do you think? If he knows his brother is in this precarious situation, he's obligated by the keeping of the law itself to go buy that brother's price and pay his price of redemption. That's right. Now remember, this one was called in the Hebrew a goel. And there's two words that are used for redemption in the Hebrew word. One of them is goel. And that is one that is kin to you. The other is one that will pay a price to buy something back for you which is not your kin. But the goel always has to be kin to you. And the goel is one who will buy back your property. The goel was also one that if somebody abused you and you did not have the ability to recompense them, it was actually the goel that was the avenger of blood. It was the goel that if he'd killed one of your loved ones or friends or whatever more, it was the goel that went after the murderer. Pardon me as I break into my sermon. I would like to let you know my goel has got your number. Hallelujah. Notice in verse 26, if the man have none to redeem it and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return unto his possession. Now this is the amount of time that he's lived there, and the other man's taken possession, also taking into consideration the amount of time left to the Jubilee. Now the man taking this at this certain price, and he figures it will be a fair price to pay X amount of denarii, as we'd say, or shekels, whatever the currency would have been at this time. And he figures that, but God said, don't you take advantage of this man. This man allowed you this much money. Don't you go out there and take advantage. I want you to be honest. I want you to have integrity. And the saint said, I think a lot of us Christians need a little bit of the dose of this today. Well, praise the Lord, you got quiet on me. Now watch, in verse 47, if a stranger, a sojourner or stranger, wax rich by thee, and thy brother that dwelleth by him wax poor, and sell himself unto the stranger or sojourner by thee, or to the stock of the stranger's family. Now here we have a different scenario than what we had up in verse 25. And this is that the Gentiles, sojourners or strangers that are among the elect and an elect man. Now, can you imagine the elect seed of Abraham? And here's somebody who's a Gentile that don't even have the covenant. And yet they're rich and the elect man is poor. I thought this all moving to a land full of milk and honey. Let me tell you something. I've been around enough of the people of God long enough. You could fill them plumb full of milk and honey. And some of them in 6 weeks wouldn't know what to do with it. They'd be flat broke again. Well, that didn't cost you nothing. That's free of charge. Now, God knew, again, you're moving these people to a land flowing with milk and honey, but God knew some of them didn't know how to keep business. They don't know how to do these sort of things. And he said, now here's another law that will come into view. Now, it wasn't even in existence yet, but God, by foreknowledge, knew that it would be. So he said, if you have a brother that actually becomes poor, and he has to sell himself to a sojourner or a stranger, which was a Gentile. Now, this Israelite might become compelled to do so. Now he's breaking beyond his ranks in one sense of the word to do it, but he's now going to sell himself, which is exactly the picture of redemption. How that Adam sold us out to a stranger who had come into the Garden of Eden and forfeited our rights. Now remember what Adam done was, Adam did not sell in the sense of our title deed to redemption, our name. Adam sold our rights to display sonship, but he could not sell our sonship. Thank God. He sold our rights and our authority, Brother Dow, to be able to be born. And we should have come through the womb of Eve. I should have had a spoken word birth. Adam should have went to the title deed of the book of redemption and scrolled down through there and found my name and give me a spoken word birth, and I would have come through Eve. Just like Isaiah would, Jeremiah would, you would, so on and so on. You understand? But now once Adam has sold out this right for me to live upon the earth and to be able to live in the paradise of God, then the book of redemption goes back into the, oh, hallelujah, the book of redemption goes back into the hands of the original owner. Because if God would have made it thus to where Adam could have sold the book of redemption, there would have never been any elect that would have been redeemed. and the devil would have had access to that book. And once he would have got the earth, and once he would have got the garden, he would have been able to get that. But God said, this land is mine. Oh, glory. This land is mine. I will not give it up. I will not forfeit my rights to this book of redemption. So Adam to a sojourner in the Garden of Eden sold his rights to the title deed. But he couldn't sell the deed itself, because the original owner had claim. Adam might have sold my natural birth, but he never sold my theophany. He might have sold my right to live in the Garden of Eden, but he could not sell my name inscribed on the Lamb's hands. He might have sold my right to come through that womb of Eve as a spoken word birth. He might have forfeited that for me, but he could not take my name off that Lamb's book of life. Why? Because God said, this land is mine. Adam, you are a sojourner. Adam, I'll place you down there and I'll let you borrow that book. But remember, Adam, that book is not yours. I'll let you live in the Garden of Eden, but it belongs to me. Glory to God. Had it belonged to Adam, and Adam would have given it up and took it to the devil, the devil would have always had a claim in the Garden of Eden. But the Garden of Eden belonged to God. And that's why we're going back to it. Why? Because he is the original landowner. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Notice in verse 49, either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto his family may redeem him. Or if he be able, he may redeem himself. Which leaves all of us in a fix. Okay, now it can't be my daddy, Don Reagan. It can't be my brother Harry, because Harry needed redemption too. It can't be my brother Jamie, because my brother Jamie needed redemption. Can't be none of my sisters. Couldn't be none of my cousins. I'm talking about spiritual redemption. It couldn't be none of you, because y'all were as bankrupt as I was. So we were all sold in sin. But there must be a kinsman. Now remember, if you're going into a pawn shop to buy something which is not yours, you're not a goel. You're going in looking for a good deal. So you go in there and you look, and there's an automatic nail gun, a DeWalt. Wow, 20 volt, 24 volt, whatever. Them, man, alive. Them things sell for X amount of dollars on Amazon. Boy, here's a good one that's only been used a little bit. You can tell by looking at it, it's not that old. And you're going, I want to buy that. I want to buy that. I want to buy this. Sure, the guy says, absolutely, there it is. The man that pawned it never come back. I'll sell it to you. Well, you know what? That wasn't yours to begin with. But if you pawn yours and then come back and get it, you're taking back to your possession which was already yours, which is what redemption is all about. Now watch this. Then the word goel is used to indicate both the redemption to free by paying and the redeemer, the one who pays. So the one who does it and the act he's doing is called exactly the same thing. We read this last night in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Now I don't want to choke you to death this morning, but I do want to choke you almost to death. That both the elected and the redeemer are all from the same source. Now this is what Paul said, they who are sanctified and the one that's doing the sanctification are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Brethren. So here we see the carrying over of the Old Testament Testament Goel into the person of the Lord Jesus to become our New Testament Goel, and he makes us, hallelujah, with the great, can you imagine just him being able to call us his saved children and forgive and all that sort of thing. He goes beyond that and calls us his brothers. Why? Because we are part of the same family of God. Exactly right. Notice mine, verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. Well, I sing praise unto thee. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus singing with us in church? And part of what he's singing about is he's singing with his family. He's singing with his brothers and sisters, Lord have mercy. Why? Because he became our Goel. He has so redeemed us. Think of it, children. If Adam would have been given the complete right of all of that, there would have been nothing ever saved, but God reserved the right of sole proprietorship of your gene. Since your gene didn't come from Adam, it didn't come from your daddy, it didn't come from the devil, it come from God. And God said, this land is mine. Devil, you can touch the body, you can afflict the body, but that gene belongs to me. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 13, again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God has given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. But I want you to notice you were children before you partook of flesh and blood. You wasn't in flesh and blood and become children. That's backwards according to what Paul believed it. Paul said the children are partakers of flesh and blood. He also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Now notice the same word that is used in the Old Testament, Goel, in Psalm 77:15. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. Psalms 106:10, he saved them from the hand of him that hated him, them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. I don't want to offend you, but I want to tell you the truth now. The Amorites, the Hittites, the Philistines, all of those people, none of them were ever considered redeemed. Show me in the Bible. Who was the word redeem, redeemer, redemption? Who is it always associated with in the Old Testament? Israel. So there was a chosen people in the Old Testament, and they were constantly identified with the Goel, and the word redemption was identified with them. God never redeemed Egypt. I'm sorry, friends, y'all didn't know this, but look at it at your church. Check me out. It's just there. Notice again, Isaiah 43:1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. You see what a real revelation of redemption does? It helps dissipate fear away from your redemption. My, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. As God claimed the land of Israel, God claimed Israel. Thou art mine. Let me tell you, sitting here today in this house of God, if God called you before the foundation of the world, that soul of yours, a soul of God that was in God, God claims you and said you were his before there was ever a gnat, ever a fly, ever one speck of stardust. You belong to him. Oh, the devil may trouble you and weary you. The devil may do all kinds of things to you, but God still has the right of ownership. And he said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that my Father giveth me, and there'll none of them perish. And I will raise them up at the last day. Why? They are his. They are his. Isaiah 43:2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. What a promise. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom. Oh, my Lord. The seventh seal reopened. Everybody was total silent. He can do what he wants to do. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Why? They were his. Isaiah 44:22, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Verse 23, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forest, every tree therein. Lord, have mercy, children, if the mountains and the trees and the rocks and the springs sing, what ought we to do? And the mountain ain't got no soul. The tree ain't got no soul. Oh, my. And what's God commanding them to sing about? Listen. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob. You mean all of nature is supposed to rejoice at the redemption of one nation? All creation is groaning and travailing together now, waiting for the adoption, your finalization of your redemption. One nation among many, the bride nation. We're not the only nation in the new earth. We're one among many. The kings will live out on the face of the earth and bring their honor and glory into the bride nation. Notice this, oh my. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Verse 24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. And he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. You imagine in his greatness, and yet he picked out this one man, which was a Gentile, which was a heathen idol worshiper, and said, I have chosen you for myself. And Abraham didn't argue with God and said, now, God, that ain't fair. That ain't right. That ain't right. You never even asked me if I wanted to. Praise the Lord. Notice again in Isaiah. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. Isaiah 59:20, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And to them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Isaiah 62:11, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, if you're going to be called sought out, then that means your name is who you are. So you were sought out. And guess who was seeking you? Almighty God. You're not going to be called the people that went seeking after God. I'm sorry, that's not your name. Well, I've done this and I've done that and I've done something else. That's not your name. Your name is a sought out people. A people who didn't even want God. A people that wasn't even looking for God. It wasn't you looking for him. It was him come looking for you. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 63:9, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bared them and carried them all the days of old. Now, let's move to the New Testament and look at the mystery of redemption as the apostles. Now, remember, let's not pull this to a Baptist, Methodist, Charismatic, Catholic, Christian, Church of Christ, whatever more perception of what redemption is. But let's just take the scriptural view of tradition, if indeed we can do that today. Be able to move beyond tradition enough, and let's just take what the Word says. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And the church said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There's no redemption in any church. There's no redemption in any preacher. No redemption in any prophet. No redemption in any creed. There's only redemption in one place. That's the Goel. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, and whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now, if a man in the Old Testament got in a hard spot and he needed to be able to put a mortgage on part of his land, part of his possession, and the man takes 100 shekels, 200 shekels, whatever it is, and in order to pay this back, there must be one that would come, a kinsman, to come and be able to settle the debt in order that the man can move back to his property. Was it his property before this stranger moved on it? Answer me. Was it his property? Now, could you say you lived on a hut on the side of the road, and you mortgaged that hut for, say, well, let's say, 3 shekels. And then somebody comes out and gives you the 3 shekels. But you hear down the road, your neighbor's got this great big old mansion on a hillside. Man, he's got cattle, he's got sheep, he's got horses, he's got everything. And he had to sell his place. But it had to be mortgaged for 300,000 denarii. And you say, I want that. I want to go back home to that. It don't take a smart cookie to figure that out, does it? Now, I don't care how much you tell your uncle. Now, look, uncle, I know you're here to redeem me, but instead of redeeming me back to this, I want to be redeemed back to that. Your uncle say, now, son, I'm not sure where you went to school. Must have been a Laodicean school, because they're the only age I've ever known that thought that way. But that's not the way it works here in Israel. You was from this little place right here, and if I'm going to redeem you back, I can't redeem you back to a mansion on a hillside, since you didn't come from a mansion on the hillside. But what if, when He was Spirit God, the immortal, the invisible, the only wise God, and He projected all of that into the second attribute of Himself, the attribute which would become tangible in time. In the beginning was the Word. But before the beginning, what was it? The Eternal. So in the beginning, He started forming Himself towards flesh. The redeemable attributes of God were in Him then. No wonder I'm homesick. Amen. That's why when you talk about heaven to some folks, they don't bring the homesick feeling. Hey, look, friends, I've been privileged to travel all around the world, visit every continent on the earth. I've been privileged to see all kinds of beautiful things and wonderful things and natural things that God has made in this earth. But I don't mind telling you one thing. I don't know of one king's castle. I don't know of one palace. I don't know of one place. I've seen the great big spreads in London. I've seen the different places in Germany, in Africa, whatever more. I don't know of a one of them I'd trade for 209 Quail Run Court. You know why? It's home. I preach in lots of different churches and been allowed by God to preach in lots of different conventions, but I don't know of anywhere I would rather preach than right here at home at Happy Valley. Now think about it. You may live in something so simple and it may not be fancy and nice, but if it is really your home, there's something about your home that has that homey feeling that when you visit somebody else's home, it just ain't quite the same. Now you see, those who, oh my, they want to be saved, and will they be saved? Absolutely. And what are they coming under? The invitations of guests of the wedding of the marriage of the king's son, according to the book of Matthew. And they are invited, and they will be invited, and many of them have accepted this invitation, and they will be so overwhelmed they will want to live there forever. But they are coming under the auspices of the invitation of a guest invitation. And once they are invited, hallelujah, then they, many of them will never go back. They'll never turn back to the world, but to the elect. You're not coming on a guest invitation. You're going back home. Why? That's where you come from.
Amen.
I don't remember it. No. I don't remember it, but when the eternal started forming himself towards a theophany, and I passed from the invisible into the Word, the Logos, the little white light that played before the Father's door, I do not remember that passing, but I was there. I do not remember July the 9th, 1956, about 8 or so in the morning, I'm told, whenever I was born. I don't remember my mother's womb. Are you going to tell me I wasn't there? If my mama was alive, she could definitely verify I was there. I don't remember it. I don't recall it. I don't remember starting there from my father and her DNA and 32 chromosomes and mixing it all together. I don't remember starting there. I don't remember that DNA and the genes and all coming together and my spine started forming in that little place. I don't remember it, but I was there. Oh, hallelujah. I don't remember growing and getting little eyes and little tiny fingers and all that. I don't remember, but I was there. My very life today testifies I was there. I don't remember being in the eternal. I don't remember being in the Word. But my very life today testifies I was there. I was there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hebrews 9:15, for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament. They which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. This word redemption is a Greek word, of course. Apollotrousis. Deliverance. A releasing. Affected by payment of ransom. Liberation procured by the payment of a ransom. You see, Paul uses a very peculiar word as he goes to describing the riches that are given to the elect of God. Logizomeo, which means that there's something put into your account. You may not know that it's there, but it's actually in your account. So you have to take him at his word and act as if it's in your account. You go, "Brother Donnie, I believe in all that, but I'm telling you right now, my salvation started in me. It was me." I feel sorry for you then. If you made up your mind to serve God with no divine supernatural intervention, all it will take the devil to do is to somehow change your mind, and then your salvation is gone. Can't you see why some folks never endure? It's because their salvation begins in them. Okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to see if this is for me or not. I'm going to give Jesus a try. Jesus ain't like Coke or Pepsi or Mountain Dew. Jesus ain't like you swapping Bojangles chicken for KFC. Come on, children. For the elect of God, it is not even a choice to be considered. The elect of God don't consider heaven or hell. Which one do I want to go to? Why? The hell ain't home to the elect. Why would they ever consider going to hell? They don't live like hell. They don't talk like hell. They ain't going to hell. They never come from hell. But to the whosoever real group, they look at it and they weigh it out. Could I go to that church? Could I live that way? Oh, they tell me that they preach on this and that and the other. Oh my, I can't do it. It's just the cost is too great. I like the singing. I like some of the preaching. Oh, I can't do that. No. You know why? Their salvation began in them. If their salvation was before there was ever a world, and their land name was landed in the book of life, there's not even a choice. To a real child of God, to put the devil before them in Jesus Christ, I was married to the devil for many years. He's a bad husband. He's a wife beater. He's a wife torturer. And I, like many of you, had beaten wife syndrome. I'd let the devil whoop up on me and beat me like I don't know what. And then I'd come right back. Master, what more do you want me to do? But one day, hallelujah, that gene of mine began to hear a voice from the other side. And it, hallelujah, it coaxed me by divine persuasion to allow that old husband to die. And then I got remarried again to Christ the Word. A new husband. I found the love of my life. He is the resurrection. He is my healer. He is my encourager. Revelation chapter 5 verse 7. And he came and took the book. We're speaking of the Lamb now. Out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. You mean to tell me the prayers of God's saints are offered as incense? Don't you see how closely you're tied to the revealing of this book? Amen. Remember, this is twofold. In the mind of God, this vision happened in the eternity. And you were there before there's ever anybody lost. Your prayers are identified in the opening of the book. What prayers? Prayers of redemption. Redeem us, O Lord. Redeem us. us. Make us free. I wonder if the prayers of the saints, coupled with the signs of the time, the culmination of the last name coming off the book, if all of that will not be the odorous fumes and fragrance that comes up into the presence of God. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. And they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book." What value does this book have? What difference does it make? It's not just an ordinary book. It's not a primer. It's not a spelling book. It's the book of life. The book of redemption. To open the seals there, for thou was slain and redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I want you to notice who's singing this song. The redeemed. Not all the saved folks. Look in verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. So whoever was singing this song of redemption and their names called from the book are kings and priests. And they're going to reign. There's got to be somebody for them to reign over. Who was it? Other people that were saved but didn't have the ability to sing this song of redemption. Lord God. What's the prophet said in the breach? As the seals break and are released to us, we can see what this great plan of redemption is and how and when it's going to be done. It's all hidden in this book of mystery here. Sealed with seven seals. So the Lamb is the only one who can break them. Again, he says, there's the mystery of redemption. It's sealed until this book could not be broken. Until the last angel's message. Amen. Think of how privileged you are to live in this day. Amen. The scroll's there. We know it was there. We know it was redemption. We believed it was redemption. You say, does this really make a difference? 5 minutes after the resurrection, ask Paul. Paul is waiting on something. Yes, Peter's waiting on something. James is waiting on something. The martyrs down through the ages are waiting on something. Or should I say, someone. It's you, Russ. It's you, Ruth. Why would God allow that Gentile, Ruth, and let the mystery of redemption be written in her life? Why was not that book called the Book of Boaz? Glory to God. I thought you'd get that. Why would God allow that book to be called the Book of Ruth? Hallelujah. Oh my, I don't want to go there. We'll be here all day. Let me close. But remember the sixth seal. When these things happen, the bride won't be here. Remember, the bride's gone. The bride don't have to go through any of it. There's a time of tribulation, a purification of the church. It's put upon her to go through. Not the bride. He takes his sweetheart out of the way. Yes, sir. She's done redeemed her. It's kind of, that's his own selection. His own choice. Like any man takes his bride. Now for those of you who believe that choosing of the bride and election is unfair, then that also means that any of you men which are single would be okay with me picking your wife. Or your mother, or maybe a friend in the church. Now, if you wouldn't want that done to you, who are you to do that to God? You're going to pick his bride? If he's marrying and going to deliver her, he ought to be the one to choose her. Would any young men resent me picking your wife? What about your daddy? You like your daddy, don't you? I hope you do. Would you want him picking your wife, your mama, your brothers? What about your grandpa? So God wanted him a woman. And before there's any women, he chose her. When? Before the foundation of the world, and reserved sole proprietorship to her soul. Let me close with this. Christ the mystery. What's redeemed by Christ, the second Adam. You believe he was. Going back home to Eden. With his fallen wife redeemed back home again. That's Christ in the church today. Taking his wife back. See the threefold mystery now? God manifested in Christ. Christ manifested in the church. All together to bring back the original Adam and Eve again. Man and woman. Which are one, made out of the same blood and same spirit and everything else. Notice redeeming back was him going home. Back to eternal life in a human body. Eating, drinking, living forever. What is it? His bride going back was him redeemed back to the original Adam and Eve again, for death is left behind. They look back at the cross and see the death has been paid. And by faith we're resurrected with him, set in the heavenly places right now, looking back to what redeemed us, waiting for the husband to come to march on home with him. Oh, can I read just one more? Let's skip down just a little bit in this quote here. Go away, Jesus. The church is a predestinated church. Every name that was ever put on that book, Jesus came to redeem. And when the last name is redeemed, do you know you are just as good as your name, and your name is just as good as you? So when your name is redeemed out of the book, you're as good as done. You see, God could associate your gene with your personal name before eternity, before time began in eternity. So God associated your spiritual DNA, your genetic code, and your makeup, and wrote your name when he thought and wrote your name, your original name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when he wrote your name, he thought of who and what you would be. That associates every trait and characteristic from deity with the representation of your name. Knowing you would come this way. Knowing part of your possession would be lost. But he reserved the right of sole proprietorship on the land. Jesus came to redeem, and when the last name is redeemed, the book is closed. He didn't intend that no one be lost, but his foreknowledge let him know who would be lost. Therefore, he could predestinate. And then their names were put on the book, and then when the book of redemption is closed and sealed with seven seals, while it's being worked out by the mysterious powers of God, someday when the book of redemption is finished, the Lamb takes it. You see, this Lamb has already took the book of mystery from the hand of Spirit God to make the revelation clear. Now that it's come open, Every name must be called out from the intercessory booth by the Lamb himself. Then when every name is called out and the book is finished, then the book will be closed. Then the Lamb arises from the intercessory booth. He changes his garments. Takes off the sash of the high priest. Lays aside the Urim, Thummim, and Type. The priestly bonnet, the robes. And he puts on his kingly garments. For it would be unbecoming for you to see him with blood on him. Then he steps out to claim the book. This time he's not claiming the book as priest, but he's claiming the book as king. The king is calling for his queen. Someday when the book of redemption is finished, the Lamb takes it, and then the last name is called off of that. The Lamb comes forward to call for what he has redeemed. That's his church. I believe the time is close at hand. What a program. What a plan. What a plan. Do you understand, friends, in this age what God has allowed us to be able to see? He's allowed us a view into the master plan. Bits and pieces have been revealed down through time. But we're so close to the end now that he can say, I'll go ahead and let you see it, sweetheart. It's so close to being done now, there ain't nothing he can do to stop it. So come and take a look. Come and look. Praise God. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence today. I hope, Lord, that I was able to present a picture that was understandable. If I didn't, Lord, I ask that you would take it and put it together for them, help them to understand it. Lord Jesus, I am so grateful today. I believe I'm part of the redeemed. And I'm going back home. Hallelujah. Me and Carol was out in the meetings in Tucson. And we decided to rent a vehicle and drive back and just take our time. We come through Arizona and New Mexico and Oklahoma and Arkansas, and one state into another. Lord, coming across Interstate 40, as we come into Memphis, we saw a welcome sight. Tennessee. Welcome to Tennessee. Many people see that sight as they cross the river there. But to us, it was welcome home to Tennessee. Others are just coming through, or just passing. They're on the way to Illinois. They're on the way to wherever more. It ain't home to them. Lord, it's the same way with your children, your elected. When we hear this word, it's eagle food. We left the other thing. We heard from our theophany. Others hear it. They sit around for however long. They come, they go, they find something they like better. They look at this message, they look at this church as just being one among many. They don't really see any value to it because they've not found home yet. Lord, I pray that you'd help us today. If there's one that's wavered, one, Lord Jesus, that's not where they need to be. They found themselves sold out to that rich neighbor of theirs, the devil. They're his slave. He owns their time. He owns their mouth. They say words they know ain't right. They live lives they know ain't true. and becoming to them. Yet their master controls them. Lord Jesus, may you help them today to realize they don't have to stay there. Lord God, I pray, those of us who are already saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, may this bring something to us, a new thankfulness, a new appreciation for the grace of God. Lord, because we were elected didn't mean we needed grace. Oh yes, we needed grace. Because when we were born, our inheritance, our property, it was mortgaged. The mortgage was so steep, none of us could ever pay it. When I was attached to my mother by that navel cord, that was a sign that the mortgage hold has still held true. I was a renegade. But you still held the original title deed to the soul. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's only one more phase. Glory to God. And redemption will be complete in us. And that is when our bodies are changed. Glory to God. You still hold that original title to my eternal human body. It must have been something to live in the days of Adam, to live 930 years old. Old age must have been so slow. The progression of the cells and the chromosomes breaking down must have been so slow. You could go 100 years and not see somebody. And when you'd seen them, it's like they hadn't hardly even changed. Gray hairs must have been so slow in coming. Wrinkles in the face. But now, Lord, here we are when everything is so fast. The wrinkles come. The hair turns gray or slips away. And it seems that it's there. Science still looking, still searching. As I read the other day where they said they think they may have found the gene that causes old age. I couldn't keep from laughing when I read it. Because I thought and said it out loud, I may not be able to find the gene that caused it, but I'm glad I found the gene that stops it. Glory. The gene of God. One day, old age will be stopped in my body. Oh, I hope I'm alive. I hope I don't have to go the way of the grave. Just for that one thing, I'd like to torment the devil in a new body. Oh, glory. Where all of a sudden, praise God. Praise God. A sweep will come over us. A sweep. And we'll be changed. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. And we will take the redeemed body to meet the theophany. The human spirit will be broken away. We'll need it no longer. The human body and its frailty will pass and be merged into eternal life. Thanks be to God. And there will be in our true triunity, seed gene, theophany, glorified human flesh to live forever. And forever. And forever. Praise God. Lord, I know that's what we feel every now and then here. The prophet said it comes near us sometimes. And it sends a surge through us. Like a battery. Sometimes when we get lower, when the word's becoming so real, it seems like my jumper cables get hooked up from the other side. And all of a sudden, a big surge goes through me and I feel like my hair standing up on end. Glory to God. It's a charge from our theophany. But before long, it won't be a boost or a charge. It'll be a change. But we gladly accept the charges till the change comes. Lord, when we get down a little bit weary, would you send down a charge for us today? Maybe there's saints standing here and they're a little bit weary of life and sickness, whatever more. May their glorified body come near them this morning, Lord. Oh, glory to God. I feel it near us right now. Hallelujah. Our glorified presence in Jesus Christ. May it come near us this morning to send a surge, a charge. of that body changing power. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Praise God. Why don't you reach up your battery terminals, as it were, your left hand and your right hand, into the presence of God. The angels of God may come by and hook up them jumper cables. I don't want to make it comical to you, but so that you'll be able to relate it in a way. Sometimes you need a charge from the other side, friends. Glory to God. God ain't going to necessarily send you a charge from Gabriel. He'll send you a charge from yourself. Yourself. Your glorified condition. It's waiting there for you. Your theophany that you should have had in the beginning. Oh, glory to God. We bless you here this morning, Jehovah. Our Redeemer, Adonai, Mighty El Shaddai, El Elyon, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Tiskenu. All of those compound redemptive names summed up in that human name of redemption, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We worship you today, Lord. I'm so glad you held my land. You know what I would have done with it. I would have sold it. I would have forfeited it. I would have given it away. But since you are the original landowner, you kept your right for future use. Praise God. We worship you today, Lord. Let's just worship him just a little before we go. I'm going to let you go. Oh, my children, if you're standing here today and you know your sin debt has been settled, you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You were, as the song the brothers sang when we started this morning, you were standing there at the slave market and you were for sale. Go speak to Hosea. And tell him to go down to the market. And when he goes, who does he find? Gomer. And there she is, standing there all beaten and battered. And she sees him come up, and the auction starts. His bids are so positive, but she don't know how to take those bids. Is it a sign of anger? Is it a sign of wrath? I'll get you back, woman. I'll show you what I'll do to you. She don't know how to read it. Will he take her life when he buys her? What will he say? The auction closes. Sold to this man. Yes. He walks near her. She starts trembling. He can see the quiver in her hands. Her lips are shaking. Tears are pouring down her cheeks. She's not sure what he'll say. But instead of wrath, he says, let's go home. Glory. Let's go home. Why could he redeem her? Because she had been at home with him. Now he come to buy her back and take her back home. Lord Jesus, this message hasn't just done something for me as far as doctrines. Most of my Pentecostal years, even when I was a preacher, I was so scared of you. I was so afraid of you. Being under an Armenian teaching for years, legalism. But this message hasn't just taught me deep mysteries and things like that. It's taught me I don't have to fear you that way. You're my husband. I'm redeemed. I don't expect to hear harsh words of judgment coming out of your lips. I'm quivering this morning. I'm shaking. But it's not because I'm afraid. I'm overwhelmed with happiness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Come and just raise our hands. What about you Gomers that stood in that place? He redeems you too. He paid the ultimate price. The auction is now sold. You are his. Then when he gets you, what does he do? He pulls you over to one side.
and shows you the mystery of redemption and shows you that he was your original soul owner from the foundation of the world. Whispering secrets of redemption. Can you sing it for us, Harry? Lord Jesus, we worship you. We bless your name, Lord God. Thank you for taking the book. Soon we believe the last one will be in. And you'll call the book, the believers, the words in the pages. The book of Ruth will be finished. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's just worship him together, can we? Oh, we worship you, Lord God.
Go plead with your mother.
Lord Jesus.
Were the words of Hosea as he sent his children to stand his mercy.
So they journeyed down the old path that led to much destruction. All the while their loving hearts were hurting. Their hope was crushed inside as their compassion was denied. The woman they so loved seemed like a stranger. Heartbroken and alone, they took the long road back home. For sin now reigned, all hope seemed gone to change her. Oh my, the word was being told.
Hey Kevin,
some slaves are being sold. A restless love sent the Lord Jesus seeking.
Glory! One by one, they brought them in.
So beaten down with sin, within his chest, his anxious heart on the cross was beating. All at once she caught his eye. From his lips the bids were so high. She could not believe the voice that she could hear. Would he through judgment take your life forever in his pain and strife? What would happen?
Oh, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. What'd you say, Jesus?
Oh, I've come to take you home.
Yes, Lord.
I've come to take you home.
Let's sing this last verse now.
Oh, I've stood in that same place, bound by sin, a broken slave. From the depths of my despair, I prayed, is there any mercy? I heard his word, the price was paid on the cross for you that day. Take my hand now, child, and welcome to the family.
Glory, let's sing it now.
Oh, I've come to take you home. I give.
the sorrow, pain, and strife.
I'll never let you go.
Just ahead, I've come to take you home.
I've come to take you home.
My God, I bless your name.
The sorrow, pain, and strife.
I'll never let you go.
Just leave the past behind.
My love conquers one more time.
The eighth day's just ahead.
But while we're still here in this life, our thieving, lying, stealing, crooked, perverse, rich neighbor still likes to make claims. This week, the doctors told our brother he has a form of leukemia. They say in the first stages. Whether it's one, two, three, or four, it makes no difference to God. God has the power to heal and deliver. As long as we're in this portion of land right here, he still likes to make his claim. But we've got a higher claim. I want you to pray for our brother Keith today. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, as rightful heirs to the full power of redemption, you see, Lord, what the doctor told my brother this week. You see the symptoms that he's had. Going to the doctors for various tests and the things that they've been able to come together. And we're grateful in one sense for all of those things because they help us. But Lord, there's times when, as they told him this week, there was no cure. And that's, of course, as far as the doctor knows. But we know there is a cure. Lord Jesus, we lay our hands on our brother today as heirs of the promise. Hallelujah. Lord God, I pray for my brother that you would help him. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd keep his faith strong, the promise of your word. As a son of Abraham, may he look at the promise of your word and water it every day that you are his healer. The work has already been done. Now, Lord, we wait for further manifestation. Dear God, touch our brother, I pray. May the revelation drop in his heart. May the manifestation drop in his body. Grant it, I pray, dear God. We believe you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. How many else here today has needs in your body? Sickness, disease, afflictions? All right. Won't you just hold your hand there before the Lord while we're praying together? Lord, we also want to pray for these. Lord, we want to remember Sister Sharon Ward as well. You see, Lord, the diagnosis that the doctors have given to her. But Heavenly Father, you come not only to save our souls, but to heal our bodies. You suffered stripes before you ever died on the cross for our sins. Lord, I pray for all these that are sick and afflicted today.
Some, Lord, it may be a passing something that'll only be there for a few days. But for some of them, it's a nagging blood pressure that comes and goes and comes and goes. It's a pain. It's an agony. It's some sort of affliction, something they inherited from their parents or whatever more. But Lord Jesus, we believe you are our healer.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord God, myself being hit this morning with a kidney stone about 4:30, and Lord woke up in the bed and couldn't sleep and getting up, Lord. Oh, but I thank you for moving for me and letting it pass away, Lord God. You are our healer. You didn't promise this land wouldn't have storms and briars and brambles, but you said, I'll make good land out of it. Praise God. Heal your children this morning, Lord, and make them well, I pray. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord, brothers.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
Let's sing it before we go. You are my friend.
Are my somehow you are, my brother, even though you are my king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. My shield, to you alone
within me. Take